Welcome to another episode of Technology Services Success, sponsored by the CompTIA Technology Lifecycle Services Community. This is the fourth episode in a series recorded at ChannelCon 2017.
So we talk about innovation, and we're trying to talk about how to accelerate innovation within an organization. Talk to me a little bit about how process can help you avoid what I call the shiny object syndrome.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think actually the keynote yesterday probably said it best, right? That, you know, we've probably already got some good ideas. Innovation is not necessarily invention, right? That when we are innovating, that we're taking something and maybe making it better through some improvement. And certainly that's a company culture thing, not to be doing too many things. I can tell you, I don't know how to tell you to do this to your own organization, but at our company, John McInnes, the president, is very good at making sure there's not a lot of shiny objects on the table. But he'll surprise you once in a while. It's like, that shiny object? Go get it. So, yeah, it really, that is from the top down to make sure that it's I think, that the culture understands only so many things get done, right? In a software world, trust me, the software is never done, right? Like, people say, oh, when are you know, finished your software? We never are, right? There's always a new version and everything else, and so it gets really dangerous in feature requests and things like that. So our culture understands development and that process, and it kind of naturally lends itself to other innovations in the company. So,
yeah, and ours is just the opposite. We every day there's a new shiny object out there that we're chasing through. But with as much as that is always being thrown out there, it's the reality of we're here to satisfy our customers and we're here to make money. And being able to walk through that and articulate through what are the right things to be focusing on and what not are the very important things on it. There's a lot of ideas out there that sound great, but without the fundamentals around how to go build upon that, it's great to go talk about it, but it's also why in many companies that, you know, you look for acquisition strategies or a lot of different things. It's how do you gain that momentum and how do you gain that speed through there? What are you great at being able to do internally and where do you not have that? I mean, we have a very good culture to stand up and say, we have no idea how to go do that. And we're going to go hire some experts in that can do that, whether that's hiring new employees or working with consultants or saying, this is important to put to our portfolio. There's no way we can build it. We're going to go acquire in and go do that. All of those discussions are being able to get brought through. And then, as we talked before, being able to share that communication through, now obviously we're not talking acquisition strategies with all of our employees, but being able to walk through the gaps that we have. But we have a little bit different of a culture, and for all transparency, Sue and I do work together. We're always chasing that shiny object, and it gets very difficult if your core fundamentals aren't in place, and we've been stretched around that a lot.
Good. And I think, like, we are a smaller company for sure, but because we're a software development company, that they're always thinking of new ideas. But the other thing that we do is once a year we have our executive strategic meetings in which we plan for the year ahead. And we know when we have all of our ideas, especially if they're big innovations, that we'll determine which ones we'll chase at that meeting. And once we make up our mind, those other three or four great things simply fall off the table. Sometimes things have to die, right? So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, we have the same thing.
Ideas have to die. The trick is making sure the good ones live, right?
Yeah, it's why the strategy is so important.
Is that a song? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah we have a three-year strategy that, honestly, for the year and a half we've been a part of building that together. It hasn't moved. A lot of things have popped up.
Sure.
And it always goes back to, does this fit into the three-year strategy? And that's why that piece is so important. We have nuked more deals off because we throw it up, it sounds great, but when you go back to what are we trying to accomplish over 3 years, doesn't mean that thing doesn't move a little bit, but it starts to get outside of that as well. So that's also why the planning thing and that feedback and alignment's key. Yeah.
So this question is for West. What I'm curious about is as you innovated, as you built your new model, what was the discussion around short-term profitability risk as you moved into potentially a long-term profitability gain? In a lot of companies, that tends to be a bit of a challenge, right?
Yeah. So obviously, there is some risk on the front end, especially if you're putting in new equipment. Is that kind of where you're going with that? Like, if you're actually going to load in some multifunction devices, let's say you've got a $10,000 to $20,000 worth of capital up front, right? So that's where the ecosystem comes in. So we actually worked with a leasing company who's here, Great America Leasing, to get them to work on the finance particulars of that so that that risk you're speaking of can be alleviated, right? The other thing I've seen people do is under a seat-based contract, sometimes they'll just take over the existing fleet and then they'll start to slowly introduce things with increased contract terms. So once the seat-based billing arrangement is in place for the existing environment, then starting to move gear into that. Because the beauty is, on that level, you can go in every quarter and try and increase that seat price, right? And it shouldn't just be for print. It should be for managed IT services. It should be for telephony. Like, once you have that seat, you should be layering everything you can on it, right? But so talk with Great America Leasing. I know Tanya's here if you want to have you know, some discussions on the finance side.
All right, I've got one more question, either for you guys or for any of you. You know, one of the focuses here of this session has been on profitability. And I think both of you guys have talked about different metrics that I think come into the process, different metrics that IT might have to answer for now. And so I'd be interested to hear from you or for any of you guys out there, as you've been taking part in the IT function for your clients, if you've been driving that a lot, are there new metrics that you're being given, not just, you know, speeds and feeds, not the traditional stuff of plug in the software and we want to see it, but are you starting to hear new measures that your solution has to fit? Yep.
My name is...
Go, try again.
My name is Melvin Williams from M&N Communications. For the most part, what I've been hearing, the new gauge is business continuity, making sure that resource availability is king, having access 24/7, all the time, to all of those mission critical applications. And those are the questions that I've been asked. How are you going to protect our data? If we experience a ransomware attack, how long does it take us to get that information back from you? And what are you doing to help us prevent these things from happening?
Yeah, I love that as an example because it's one that we use sometimes when we're talking about transforming or becoming a digital organization, that you're going from just backup to business continuity and having to answer some of those questions about how quickly can it get back and in what order should things get back. It's a much more complicated question, I think.
Yeah, we're starting to see more of our, I'd say, leading edge customers challenge us on metrics around their business. So. Mm-hmm. Their productivity, their competitiveness, their ability to collaborate, to get work done with fewer resources. And it's a challenge. I mean, it's kind of what we promise. You know, we promise to be their trusted advisor, but it's a challenge to, you know, develop metrics that kind of line up to their results as a business.
Yeah, it's true. If I can share another innovation that we came up with, we actually created the first business intelligence dashboard for managed print customers so that anyone using our software actually gets a dashboard which they can log into to look at their metrics on a daily, hourly, you know, whatever basis, right? And I find that dashboarding for those metrics is a much more user-friendly, intuitive way to, you know, to continue to share those metrics so you're not having to manually put it together all the time. So you feed the system, and the system, you know, makes it easy for the customer to go through those metrics.
Yeah, but real quick, but back to your question about some of the financial drivers, right? We're a private equity owned company, and so that conversation is completely different than publicly traded companies because it is there are timelines and things, and so every decision we make around whether it's IT or operations or investment, we're actually working right now on a suite of new software, WMS and ERP, a trade compliance software. It still all goes back to kind of the general ROI. There is no doubt that the time frames are starting to shrink down in terms of paybacks where in a very capital manufacturing intensive thing, you know, you kind of have longer cycles where those are the drivers. And so those are a lot of things that we're seeing. We're also seeing a lot of stuff where we don't just look at IT or technology as a cost center anymore. There is no doubt that we have revenue potential out there with how we sell services into customers. as the gentleman just kind of talked about, with our customers asking for metrics and things, they expect us to get better with them. And there's definitely ways that we can drive up into that with margins and stuff like that. And so IT is no longer just to us a cost center. It's also kind of, how do you add value? How do we get monetized for it? But also just in the daily measuring through that, in our world, we're starting to see that shrink down dramatically. The ROI is just more to us because we're private equity.
Yeah. We're up against time, so Sandy, I'm going to give you the last word.
Okay. Hush, Jim. I have a comment to make. I've listened, this is all really great, valuable information to us. And the one comment I'd like to make is, earlier yesterday, there was a breakout, and it was on how matching your company culture to your customer's culture. And part of that is all around internalizing and doing digitally in your company, process-wise and equipment-wise, so that it matches to your customer. And customers, even though they're cost-driven a lot, we've seen a paradigm shift in the past 18 months that customers are now more focused on pleasing their end-user services, end-users, more than they are almost about the cost. It's because they've been dinged so much and on social media about their internal culture, they have made it a priority again. But to that point, things like bringing in augmented reality, vending machines, lockers, things like that for your clients, if you're not internally doing them yourself and done all the from the very beginning to end and how you're going to deliver it to that customer with the process behind that, it's just a piece of equipment. So it's ultimately important that you do what these gentlemen say.
Yeah, that's a great closing comment, because I think in this new era of IT that we're seeing, the user is the center of that much more than they've ever been. So let's give Matt and Wes one last hand.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Technology Services Success, brought to you by the CompTIA Technology Lifecycles community.
You can hear more expert information like this by attending ChannelCon in person. Pull up your calendar and save the date for ChannelCon 2018. Here's what to plug in. ChannelCon 2018 will be held July 31st through August 2nd in Washington, D.C. ChannelCon is one of the IT channel's biggest events. Over 3 days, you get a chance to learn from people who work in IT, choose to take on intensive industry training, or get insider access to some great networking opportunities. Still not sure? Check out ChannelCon 2017. The online rebroadcast is available online. CompTIA.org/ChannelCon.